Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Welcome to The Deep Dive, where we sift through the information to pull out those crucial takeaways, helping you get smart fast. Today, we're taking a closer look at Taylor Tomlinson, a comedian whose career trajectory is, well, nothing short of incredible. I was particularly struck by a statistic from 2023. She was the only woman in the top 10 highest-grossing comic tours that year.
Wow, the only one.
Yeah, and it wasn't just about being on the list. She performed a staggering 132 shows. That's more gigs than anyone else in that top tier.
132 shows? That's intense.
Totally. She sold nearly 300,000 tickets, generating over $17.5 million in sales. And if that wasn't enough, she also recently hosted CBS's After Midnight, taking the reins from January 2024 through June 2025.
Right.
This isn't just a comedian making a living. This is someone who is fundamentally, you know, reshaping the landscape of modern entertainment, demonstrating a unique blend of artistry and sheer business acumen.
It's truly remarkable, isn't it? These aren't just raw numbers. They tell a very compelling story. It speaks to a stand-up comedian who has not only rapidly risen to immense prominence in a highly competitive field, but has managed to do so by balancing this kind of mainstream commercial success with a deeply personal, often incredibly vulnerable comedic style.
Exactly.
It gives us a fascinating window into what it truly takes to not just succeed, but to genuinely dominate in stand-up comedy and the broader entertainment industry today. Her work ethic, combined with her relatable voice, clearly resonates on a massive scale.
Absolutely. If you're curious about how a unique, authentic voice manages to break through all the noise and capture such a massive audience, or if you simply appreciate sharp, insightful comedy that really resonates on a deeper level, then you are definitely in for a fascinating deep dive today. Our focus is the incredible Taylor Elise Tomlinson, born November 4th, 1993, an American stand-up comedian who has gifted us with three phenomenal Netflix specials. Quarter Life Crisis in 2020, Look at You in 2022, and her most recent Have It All, released just this past February in 2024.
Three specials already, yeah.
Right. Our mission today is to explore the intricate layers of her career and personal life, from her genuinely unique origins and formative experiences to her, well, meteoric rise. We'll critically examine how her intensely personal narratives translate into universal comedic insights and ultimately what her strategic choices tell us about defining success and fulfillment in the modern, multifaceted entertainment landscape. Okay, let's unpack this. So, to truly understand Taylor Tomlinson, we have to start at the very beginning, tracing her voice back to some really unconventional origins that deeply inform her comedy. She, along with her three younger siblings, was raised in a devout Christian family in Temecula, California. Now, this isn't just a biographical detail. It's a recurring, prominent, and often hilarious theme in her comedy routines.
Oh, absolutely. It's woven through everything.
And a profound early life event that undeniably shaped her perspective was the loss of her mother, who died of cancer in August 2002 when Taylor was just 8 years old.
Only eight? That's incredibly young.
Her father remarried a year later. You just can't separate these foundational experiences from the comedian she is today.
Indeed, that deeply devout Christian upbringing is like a crucible where Tomlinson's unique comedic tension was truly forged. It's fascinating because this is a comedian who now fearlessly delves into what can be described as glue comedy humor that often pushes boundaries and explores adult themes, and surreal humor, which plays with illogical or unexpected scenarios that challenge reality.
Right, quite a contrast.
Exactly. The juxtaposition of that conservative foundation with her current fearless, often edgy material creates such a rich ground for her observational comedy. She expertly taps into that inherent conflict between the sacred and the absurd, transforming potentially taboo topics into universally relatable insights.
Mm.
You can almost see how that background provides a unique, almost analytical lens through which she observes everyday life and broader American culture, finding both the inherent tension and the profound humor in those experiences.
Oh, that makes sense.
The early loss of her mother, too, is incredibly significant. For anyone, but especially for someone whose art relies so heavily on vulnerability and candid self-expression, such a formative event can profoundly shape their perspective, their understanding of loss, resilience, and their ability to connect with an audience on a deeper, more empathetic level.
Yeah, vulnerability is definitely her currency.
It really is.
Yeah.
It's not just a footnote in her biography. It's a foundational element of her worldview, shaping her approach to honesty and intimacy in her comedy. She skillfully weaves that early religious framework into her material, not as a judgment, but as a source of relatable, often hilarious conflict and a journey of ongoing self-discovery.
I can certainly feel that tension and deeply personal perspective in her work. It's what makes her so compelling. And speaking of unconventional beginnings, her entry into comedy itself was, well, far from typical.
Right. It wasn't the usual path.
Not at all. She didn't just wake up one day and decide to pursue stand-up on her own initiative from scratch. At age 16, it was actually her father who signed them both up for a stand-up class.
Wait, both of them? Seriously?
Yes. It wasn't a solo venture at first, but a shared experience. From that point, she honed her craft, performing in places most aspiring comedians might consider unusual, or at least highly challenging.
Yeah.
Church basements, school venues, and coffee shops.
Church basements.
Yeah.
That's quite the training ground.
You bet. But by 19, that almost accidental spark had clearly ignited into a roaring fire, and she made the decisive choice that comedy would be her full-time career. That's an incredible leap of faith at such a young age.
This almost accidental entry, facilitated by her father, offers such an interesting perspective on how one might discover their true calling. It wasn't a solitary grand declaration, but a shared experience that blossomed into a singular, undeniable passion for Taylor. Performing in those church basements or school venues, settings that might demand a certain level of clean humor or at least a different kind of audience engagement and self-awareness, likely shaped her early style. It could have contributed to the sharp wit and precise observational skills she developed, a wit capable of navigating sensitive lines without immediately alienating a broader, sometimes more conservative audience, which she's now so adept at doing, even with more adult material.
That's a great point. Adaptability.
Totally. This early training in diverse, often challenging environments probably gave her incredible stage presence and adaptability. That early decisive commitment at 19 to pursue comedy full-time really speaks volumes about her resolve, her unwavering dedication to her craft, and her innate understanding of what she wanted, even before the big breaks fully materialized.
Yeah, she knew.
It's an early indicator of her strategic thinking and self-belief, demonstrating an entrepreneurial spirit even as a teenager. She wasn't waiting for permission. She was building her own path, one basement show at a time.
That's a powerful point about her early strategic thinking, and that singular focus is really clear when we look at her academic path, or rather, her intentional decision to deprioritize a traditional academic path in favor of her burgeoning comedy career.
Right, the color story.
Yeah. She briefly attended California Polytechnic State University in San Luis Obispo, a highly respected institution.
Mm-hmm.
But then she deliberately transferred to Palomar College, which is a community college in the San Diego metropolitan area.
Okay. Oh,
the reason for this unconventional move. Specifically, in order to be closer to comedy clubs and keep sustaining her career.
Wow. So practical location.
Exactly. She even later attended California State University San Marcos, but eventually dropped out, again, to pursue her budding comedy career full-time. This wasn't a flippant decision. It was a calculated career-first maneuver.
What's fascinating here is the clear and early strategic decisions she made, demonstrating an almost precocious entrepreneurial spirit. This illustrates a singular, laser-like focus and a remarkable willingness to make unconventional choices, consciously prioritizing her career over what many would consider a standard educational route.
Absolutely.
It highlights a profound understanding, very early on, that success in stand-up comedy isn't just about raw talent, but about consistent stage time, relentless honing of the craft, networking, and being deeply embedded in the scene.
Stage time is everything.
It really is. Moving to a community college specifically for geographic proximity to comedy venues underscores an extraordinary level of dedication and pragmatism. She wasn't simply dropping out of college in a fit of youthful rebellion, She was dropping into her passion, making a calculated choice to optimize her environment for career growth.
Dropping in, I like that.
This early decision reveals the mindset of a burgeoning stand-up star who recognized that the traditional path wasn't necessarily her path, and that carving her own route, however unconventional it seemed, was the most direct way to her ultimate goal. It speaks to a deep self-awareness and a relentless drive to facilitate her own opportunities rather than waiting for them to appear.
Absolutely. It's a masterclass in making your own way and betting on yourself. And those early strategic moves certainly paid off, setting the stage for her ascent from a rising star to a true Netflix phenomenon, ultimately changing the trajectory of her career. Her journey really picked up steam with some critical industry traction and early exposure. She was a top 10 finalist on the 9th season of NBC's Last Comic Standing in 2015, which is a huge deal for national visibility and putting her in front of millions of potential fans.
Last Comic Standing, yeah, that was a big platform.
Huge. Then, building on that buzz, Variety named her one of their 2018 top 10 comics to watch at the prestigious Just for Laughs Festival.
JFL, okay, that's major industry recognition.
Exactly. That's a clear signal of strong industry buzz and validates her as a serious talent. Beyond the competitions and industry lists, she also made appearances on prominent late-night shows like The Tonight Show and Conan, as well as various Comedy Central productions, with two episodes on Conan between 2017 and 2019.
Conan. That connection comes up later, too.
Precisely. These were critical stepping stones, putting her in front of an appreciative, comedy-savvy audience.
These early achievements are absolutely critical milestones for any comedian trying to break into the national consciousness. Last Comic Standing provided her with broad audience exposure, putting her in front of millions of viewers who might not typically seek out stand-up, but who would be introduced to her unique style.
Mm-hmm. Built that initial fan base.
Right. This kind of platform can create an immediate, widespread fan base. Meanwhile, Variety's Comics to Watch list is a powerful endorsement from industry insiders, signaling that she was someone not just with potential, but someone genuinely on the cusp of significant breakthroughs. It's a stamp of approval that opens doors. Her appearances on Conan are particularly notable. Not only are late-night spots highly coveted for their reach and prestige, but Conan O'Brien would later become a key figure in her touring career, indicating that these early interactions clearly made an impression and forged important professional relationships that would pay dividends down the line.
Good point. Seeds planted early.
These weren't just isolated successes. They were foundational steps that built her reputation, amplified her reach, and truly set the stage for what was to come. These significant TV and industry recognitions created a powerful springboard for her entry into the world of streaming specials, which would ultimately be transformative for her career and audience engagement.
And transformative is the perfect word for it, because here's where it gets really interesting. Netflix truly launched her into the stratosphere, providing a global platform that few other outlets could match.
The Netflix effect.
Totally. In 2018, she delivered a concise but incredibly impactful 15-minute set on the Netflix stand-up series, The Comedy Lineup. This was a pivotal moment, showcasing her sharp wit to a massive international audience.
That 15-minute set was a great introduction for many.
Following that, between November and December of the same year, she served as one of the opening acts for Conan O'Brien's Team Coco Presents Conan and Friends, an evening of stand-up and investment tips tour, a fantastic opportunity to perform alongside an icon and in larger venues.
Opening for Conan, wow. Invaluable experience.
Invaluable. Her first full-length Netflix stand-up special, Quarter Life Crisis, was released in March 2020, right at the start of a global shift. Yet its themes of anxiety, relationships, and the pressures of early adulthood resonated deeply with audiences stuck at home, establishing her signature blend of vulnerability and sharp observation.
Perfect timing in a weird way, wasn't it? Everyone was feeling that anxiety.
Exactly. Later that year, she further expanded her reach, touring with fellow comedian Whitney Cummings on the Codependent Tour. Her second Netflix special, Look at You, followed quickly in March 2022, building on her previous success.
And Look at You went even deeper, right?
Oh, yeah. And just recently, her third special, Have It All, was filmed in November 2023 and released on February 13th, 2024, cementing her status as a consistent comedic force.
Netflix proved to be an absolute game-changing platform for Tomlinson. It provided her with a global audience almost overnight, something that was historically incredibly difficult for comedians to achieve without years of network television exposure and relentless touring.
Right, the reach is just unparalleled.
The progression from a 15-minute showcase to 3 full-length specials in such a relatively short period speaks volumes about her rapidly growing popularity and, crucially, the platform's immense confidence in her talent and audience appeal.
They clearly saw something special.
Absolutely. It's a clear indication that she consistently delivered and captivated viewers, earning successive specials. And to delve a bit deeper into those specials.
Please do.
In Quarter Life Crisis, she masterfully dissected the anxieties of modern adulthood, particularly around the age of 25-30, striking a chord with millennials. She skillfully articulated the pressure to have it all, the perfect career, partner, and life, while feeling completely unprepared.
So relatable, that feeling of, am I doing this right?
Exactly. Her observations on dating, therapy culture, and that moment when you realize you're no longer young and dumb,
yeah,
but simply dumb, were incredibly relatable, establishing her signature voice.
Mm-hmm.
By Look at You, we saw a noticeable shift, a deeper dive into significantly more personal territory, specifically her mental health journey and her bipolar diagnosis.
Which was huge.
Huge. This wasn't just a revelation. It was woven intricately into her comedic fabric, using humor to destigmatize.
Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Ties and connect. She handled it with such grace and wit, inviting the audience into her experience rather than just stating facts. It deepened her vulnerability and allowed for an even more profound connection with her audience, solidifying her reputation as a comedian who isn't afraid to get real.
Absolutely. It felt like a turning point.
And Have It All further cemented her unique voice, showing growth in her self-acceptance and broader social commentary. Here she explores her evolving identity, including coming out as bisexual, and delves into her family dynamics with even more openness.
Still personal, but maybe with a wider lens.
Yes, exactly. The critical reception often noted how this special showcased a comedian fully owning her voice, confident in her material, and pushing the boundaries of what personal vulnerability can achieve in comedy. Furthermore, touring with established comedians like Conan O'Brien and Whitney Cummings offered invaluable experience, exposing her to larger venues and diverse audiences, while also providing mentorship and a broader professional network that is absolutely essential for long-term success in this industry.
Building that network is key.
Crucial. Each of these specials, Quarter Life Crisis, Look at You, and Have It All, serves as a distinct benchmark of her artistic development, demonstrating her evolving voice, increasing confidence, and increasingly sophisticated comedic insights.
Beyond just stand-up, which is clearly her core, Taylor has also been strategically expanding her creative horizon, showing that her ambitions and storytelling capabilities stretch far beyond the stage.
Yeah, she's not just sticking to one thing.
Not at all. Back in 2017, quite early in her career, she developed a semi-autobiographical sitcom for ABC, where she was slated to play a character with a religious upbringing living with her 2 younger sisters.
Oh, interesting. I didn't know about that.
Yeah. While it ultimately wasn't picked up for a pilot, it clearly demonstrates her early desire to explore other mediums for her personal narratives.
Shows the ambition was there early on.
Definitely. Then, in a major recognition of her broader impact, she was deservedly placed on the prestigious Forbes 30 Under 30 list in December 2021.
Big recognition.
Huge. And a huge development came in February 2022 when Village Roadshow Pictures acquired the rights to create a film based on her life, with Tomlinson herself not only set to serve as a screenwriter and co-producer, but also to star in the movie.
Wow. Starring, writing, and producing. That's significant control.
It really is a massive vote of confidence in her storytelling ability.
These ventures truly demonstrate her multifaceted ambition beyond the traditional stand-up stage. They showcase her creative versatility and her desire to explore different mediums for storytelling, recognizing that her unique voice and experiences have appeal across various platforms.
Yeah, her story resonates.
The fact that she was developing a sitcom as early as 2017, even if it didn't go to pilot, highlights her early attempts at broader creative expression and her understanding that her personal narrative had resonance beyond a stand-up set. It's a testament to her drive to create.
Mm-hmm.
The Forbes 30 Under 30 recognition is a significant stamp of approval, signaling not just comedic success, but a broader influence as a young leader, innovator, and entrepreneur in the entertainment industry.
More than just a comedian.
Exactly. And the film deal in particular is a massive vote of confidence from a major studio. It indicates that they see her not just as a talented performer, but as a compelling storyteller, capable of translating her unique comedic voice and life experiences into a cinematic narrative. Crucially, her role as a screenwriter and co-producer, in addition to starring, indicates a significant level of creative control and agency, which is rare and highly sought after in Hollywood. It's about building a multifaceted, creatively driven career, not just being a one-dimensional performer.
From a rising star to a true juggernaut, Taylor Tomlinson has definitely cemented her place in mainstream prominence, making some incredibly strategic career moves along the way that solidify her status.
She's really arrived.
Oh, definitely. Her presence has expanded globally and into iconic venues. In September 2023, she made her debut at the iconic Radio City Music Hall in New York City, a dream venue for any performer and a clear sign of immense popularity.
Radio City. That's a huge milestone.
Huge. Then, in June 2024, she served as one of the presenters at the 77th Tony Awards, held at Lincoln Center's David H. Koch Theater and aired on CBS, placing her squarely in the broader cultural conversation and showing her versatility beyond just comedy.
The Tonys, okay. Crossing over into different spheres.
Exactly. In July 2024, she wasted no time announcing the dates for the first leg of her new stand-up tour, aptly titled Save Me, demonstrating her relentless touring schedule.
Back on the road already, nonstop.
And just this October 2024, it was announced that she would release her first book, actually, never mind, through Gallery Books, adding author to her growing list of accomplishments.
These events collectively solidify her status as a mainstream entertainment figure, clearly transcending the traditional stand-up comedy circuit. Performing at Radio City Music Hall is not just a career achievement, it's a cultural marker, a sign that an artist has reached a particular echelon of fame, audience demand, and widespread recognition.
Mm-hmm. It says something.
Presenting at the Tony Awards, broadcast on a major network, highlights her integration into the broader cultural conversation, showing that her voice and presence are valued beyond purely comedic contexts. It demonstrates her appeal to a diverse audience across various art forms.
Right.
The announcement of her new Save Me tour, so quickly after her previous successes and the release of Have It All, indicates her relentless work ethic and the sustained high demand for her live performances. The demand is clearly there.
Unquestionably.
And the book deal for... Actually, never mind. Further diversifies her creative output and offers yet another avenue for her distinctive voice and insights. These aren't just one-off gigs. They're calculated steps that expand her brand and influence across different media, reaching wider audiences and cementing her legacy as a significant cultural voice, not just a comedian.
And speaking of major network moves and expanding her brand, then came what I'd call the After Midnight experiment.
Yes, the late night gig.
On November 1st, 2023, it was announced that Taylor Tomlinson would host After Midnight, a CBS revival of the popular former Comedy Central panel show at midnight. The show premiered on January 17th, 2024, putting her in a highly visible late night slot 4 nights a week, following The Late Show with Stephen Colbert.
Huge opportunity. Big shoes to fill, in a way.
Absolutely. This was a monumental opportunity, especially for a woman in the historically male-dominated world of late-night television.
Definitely groundbreaking in that sense.
What's truly fascinating, though, and reveals so much about her priorities, is that she took the job on a very specific, non-negotiable condition. She would only record the show 3 days a week, ensuring she could continue performing comedy gigs on weekends.
Wait, really? Only 3 days? That's unusual for a network show like that.
Right. That stipulation tells you everything.
Hosting a late-night show on a major network like CBS is a truly significant step in any comedian's career, placing her in an incredibly visible and influential position within mainstream television. It's a testament to her widespread appeal, her ability to connect with a broad audience, and her industry recognition.
For sure.
The historical context of women in late night, which has been notoriously sparse, makes her appointment even more groundbreaking. However, Her stipulation for a 3-day work week is particularly insightful and, quite frankly, extraordinary.
It really is.
It's not just a clever negotiation tactic. It demonstrates a clear and unwavering prioritization of her stand-up career, even when offered such a prestigious, high-profile, essentially full-time hosting role. This negotiation highlights her steadfast commitment to her core craft.
Stand-up first.
Always.
It seems so. It shows that for her, stand-up isn't just a stepping stone to other opportunities. It is the foundation, the passion, and the creative wellspring she refuses to compromise. She understood the demands of a late-night show could easily consume her, potentially pulling her away from what she considers her true calling. This raises an important question. How do artists balance immense opportunities for expansion and diversification with their foundational passions and the creative output that truly defines them?
It's the ultimate balancing act.
Her choice here gives us a powerful, almost radical answer, challenging the conventional wisdom that you must always say yes to every major opportunity that comes your way.
And that answer became even clearer with her next big decision, one that truly defines her commitment to her art. Choosing stand-up over continued late-night stardom.
Ah, the departure.
Exactly. Well, after Midnight was initially renewed for a third season, a strong indicator of its success and CBS's confidence in her, the network eventually decided to cancel the show after its second season, which is set to end in June 2025. The reason.
She decided to leave?
Yes. Taylor Tomlinson herself had made the incredibly bold and intentional decision to leave the show to focus exclusively on her stand-up career. This wasn't a cancellation due to poor ratings. It was a choice driven by artistic integrity.
This decision is a profound and almost unprecedented statement about artistic integrity and prioritizing one's core passion. In an industry that constantly pushes for expansion, diversification, and the accumulation of high-profile roles, especially a network late-night show, which is often seen as the pinnacle of comedic success and stability.
Right, the brass ring for many.
Exactly. Tomlinson made a deliberate and conscious choice to return to her roots, to double down on the art form that truly defines her. It challenges the conventional wisdom that you must always seize every opportunity, no matter what.
So what does that say?
Well, what does this tell us about the perceived value and fulfillment derived from stand-up versus the demands and perhaps different satisfactions of late-night hosting? It suggests that for her, the unadulterated creative expression, the direct connection with a live audience, and the unfiltered storytelling of stand-up comedy offered a deeper sense of purpose and fulfillment than the more structured, collaborative, and perhaps less personally expressive demands of a hosting gig.
The immediacy and control of stand-up.
Perhaps. It points to a very strong internal compass guiding her career, where personal artistic satisfaction and maintaining creative control clearly outweigh the allure of widespread, but perhaps less creatively aligned, fame. For you, the listener, it raises an important personal question. What do you think about sacrificing a high-profile, stable job, one that offers immense visibility and financial security, to dedicate yourself fully to a more creatively demanding, but perhaps less stable path?
It's a tough question for anyone.
It forces us to consider our own definitions of success and fulfillment.
It's a truly thought-provoking decision that speaks volumes about her dedication. But even as she prioritizes stand-up, she's incredibly adept at leveraging digital platforms to build and engage her audience, a crucial skill in today's entertainment landscape.
Oh yeah, she's very savvy online.
Very. She's gained significant success by effectively using TikTok, becoming the 7th most followed female comedian on the platform in 2022. Her popularity there even helped her acquire a lucrative sponsorship from Hotels.com, which she actively promotes through her unique comedic style on TikTok.
Smart move, leveraging that TikTok fame into sponsorship.
Totally. Beyond that, she also co-hosted the podcast Self-Helpless with fellow comedians Kelsey Cook and Delaney Fisher in 2020, offering a different format for her humor. And in 2021, she began hosting a short-term video podcast titled Sad in the City on YouTube, further diversifying her digital footprint.
This demonstrates a distinctly modern, multi-platform approach to audience engagement and brand building that is absolutely essential for artists in today's digital landscape. Her success on TikTok shows an incredible adeptness at connecting with contemporary, often younger, audiences through short-form, highly shareable content.
Capturing that zeitgeist.
Right. She uses the platform not just for quick jokes, but for relatable observations that go viral. And crucially, she's able to translate that digital popularity into broader recognition and even lucrative sponsorships, like with Hotels.com. This isn't just passive engagement. It's active, strategic brand management that understands where her audience lives and how to speak to them.
Mm-hmm.
Her ventures into podcasting, but self-helpless and sad in the city, further illustrate her comfort and skill in long-form conversational formats. These platforms allow her to explore themes and connect with listeners in a different, more intimate way than a stand-up special might.
Gives her another way to connect.
Exactly. It's a testament to her comprehensive understanding of how to cultivate and engage her fan base across diverse digital ecosystems, proving she's not just a comedian. She's a savvy media entrepreneur in her own right, constantly innovating her connection with her audience.
Moving on to the core of her art, let's talk about her voice, the precise themes, the foundational influences, and that incredibly relatable vulnerability that truly defines her work.
Yes, what makes her her?
Precisely. Her comedy is a rich tapestry encompassing a wide array of genres. Observational comedy, where she keenly notes the absurdities of everyday life. Improvisational comedy, showcasing her quick wit. Blue comedy, which pushes boundaries and explores adult themes. Surreal humor, playing with illogical and unexpected scenarios. Biting sarcasm and sharp satire.
Quite the range.
And her subjects are both broad and deeply personal. American culture, everyday life, mental health, human sexuality, pop culture, self-deprecation, and of course the distinct, enduring influence of her devout Christian family. It's a powerful mix.
Her ability to seamlessly blend such sharp observational humor with more intimate and often challenging topics, utilizing this diverse toolkit of comedic styles, is truly a hallmark of her work. She doesn't stick to one lane. She maneuvers expertly through all of them, which is a rare and impressive skill.
Very true.
What makes it so effective is how she uses self-deprecation and sarcasm to tackle sensitive subjects, making them not only relatable and genuinely humorous, but also disarmingly honest, rather than preachy or overly serious.
Takes the edge off, in a way.
Exactly. For instance, when she talks about mental health or her religious upbringing, she often uses self-deprecating humor to diffuse potential discomfort, inviting the audience into her struggles and observations with a wink and a smile. This allows them to laugh with her, and often at themselves, about experiences that might otherwise be uncomfortable or difficult to discuss openly.
Creates that connection.
This remarkable range is precisely what allows her to connect with such a wide and diverse audience. From those who appreciate a clean joke to those who enjoy more edgy, thought-provoking material. She's a master at finding the humor in universal human experiences, no matter how personal or complex.
It's clear she has a wide range and that versatility isn't accidental. Her comedic DNA is also shaped by some very specific influences. Taylor has openly stated that her two biggest comedy influences are Brian Regan and Maria Bamford.
Ah, Regan and Bamford. Interesting pairing.
Isn't it? She describes Regan as one of the greats and also the nicest person, whose work she admires for being enjoyable for the whole family, a clear nod to clean, accessible, observational humor.
Okay, the master of relatable, clean observation.
Then of Bamford, a comedian known for her unique and often avant-garde style, Tomlinson said, "She's so different from anyone else out there, and she talks about mental health in such a hilarious, vulnerable, amazing way."
And Bamford, the pioneer of vulnerability and mental health comedy. Mm-hmm. That makes perfect sense.
It really does. Beyond these two, she also idolizes an impressive list of legends and contemporary powerhouses. Richard Pryor, Dave Chappelle, Conan O'Brien, Burt Kreischer, and John Mulaney. That's a seriously eclectic and brilliant mix.
Wow, that's a murderer's row of comedy influences. This combination of influences provides such incredible insight into her unique comedic DNA, showcasing a deep and thoughtful appreciation for the craft across its spectrum. The admiration for Brian Regan suggests a foundational appreciation for clean, accessible, observational humor comedy that finds the universal and the mundane without resorting to shock value or overly niche topics.
Master of the craft.
Right. It speaks to a desire for broad appeal and a mastery of the relatable. On the other hand, Maria Bamford's influence points directly to her comfort with profound vulnerability and her courage in using mental health as deeply personal and yet universally resonant comedic material. Bamford is a pioneer in bringing her personal struggles to the stage with unflinching honesty and inventive humor, and Tomlinson clearly draws from that well.
You can see that lineage.
Absolutely. If we connect this to the bigger picture of comedic influences, we see a bridge between classic, accessible comedy and modern, deeply personal storytelling. The inclusion of powerhouses like Pryor and Chappelle speaks to a respect for groundbreaking, incisive social commentary and master storytelling. While Mulaney suggests an appreciation for polished narrative and sophisticated wit, and Kreischer for high-energy, anecdotal performance.
Covers all the bases.
It really does. Yeah. This blend of influences clearly contributes to her versatile and deeply human approach, allowing her to be both widely appealing and incredibly specific and intimate in her material, capable of both lighthearted observations and profound emotional revelations.
Now let's talk about how she bravely brings her personal life, particularly her struggles and evolving identity, to the stage, transforming it into something universal for all of us.
The vulnerability piece again, it's central.
Absolutely central. She's incredibly open about her mental health, a topic that's historically been stigmatized, especially in public discourse. In her stand-up material, Tomlinson frequently refers to her experiences with mental health issues, including battles with depression, debilitating panic attacks, and unsettling night terrors.
Doesn't shy away from it at all.
Not one bit. She stated she struggled with depression and anxiety since adolescence, although it's worth noting she mentioned feeling very hopeful about the future as a teenager, citing her very rich and fulfilling imagination as a main factor that helped her cope.
Interesting nuance there, the hopefulness alongside the struggle.
Right. This culminated in her 2022 special Look at You, where she openly and candidly discussed being diagnosed with bipolar disorder.
Mm-hmm.
This wasn't just a casual mention. It was a significant part of her narrative.
Her candor about her mental health journey, culminating in the very public and deeply personal revelation of her bipolar diagnosis in Look at You, is a truly powerful act of destigmatization.
So important.
In an era where mental health conversations are becoming more open, a public figure of her stature sharing such deeply personal struggles transforms the audience's perception of both her and themselves. It makes her comedy not just funny, but also deeply resonant and incredibly empathetic.
It creates that deeper bond.
Totally. By integrating her experiences with depression, anxiety, panic attacks, and bipolar disorder directly into her act, she not only normalizes these conversations, but also creates a powerful sense of connection and understanding with her audience. Many listeners have reported feeling seen and less alone after hearing her material.
I can imagine.
This level of vulnerability clearly echoes her admiration for Maria Bamford, who also masterfully weaves mental health themes into her work. This isn't just entertainment. It's a profound act of public service wrapped in brilliant comedy. For you, the listener, it raises a question about how public figures like Taylor Tomlinson normalize and encourage conversations about mental health simply by integrating their personal experiences so bravely and artfully into their work.
Making it okay to talk about.
Exactly. She demonstrates that these struggles don't define you, and they can even be a source of strength and connection.
And it's not just mental health. She consistently draws from her intensely personal life for her material, including her relationships and evolving identity.
Nothing seems off limits.
Seems that way. In her first special, Quarter Life Crisis, in 2020, Tomlinson openly revealed she had once been engaged but called off the marriage before the taping, turning a painful personal experience into relatable humor about the anxieties of commitment.
Turning heartbreak into humor.
Right.
Classic comedian move, but she does it so well.
She really does. She was also in a public relationship with fellow comedian Sam Morril from March 2020 to February 2022, which naturally became fodder for some of her later material, showcasing the complexities of navigating relationships in the public eye.
Dating another comic must provide endless material.
You'd think so. Then, in her most recent 2024 special, Have It All, she came out as bisexual, humorously detailing her experiences trying to date women and this sometimes awkward, sometimes liberating journey of discovering that aspect of her identity.
Tomlinson's consistent willingness to lay bare her personal life on stage is a testament to the authenticity of her comedic voice and a core reason for her profound connection with audiences.
That authenticity shines through.
Her relationship experiences, from a broken engagement and the complexities of a public relationship to navigating new aspects of her sexuality, become not just fodder for humor, but a genuine conduit for exploring universal themes. She takes the deeply specific details of her romantic life and transforms them into relatable insights about love, loss, self-discovery, and the inherent awkwardness and joys of modern dating, all viewed through a sharp comedic lens.
Makes the specific feel universal.
Exactly. This approach deepens the authenticity of her work, allowing the audience to feel like they're truly getting to know her, fostering a powerful connection that transcends simple laughter. It's a brave and vulnerable choice to share such intimate details, especially something as personal as one's sexual identity. But by doing so with humor and grace, she further normalizes and creates understanding around diverse experiences.
Mm-hmm.
Her decision to share her journey of coming out as bisexual in Have It All is particularly significant, contributing to broader conversations about identity and acceptance within mainstream comedy.
And this incredible openness and willingness to share extends even to her family, showcasing modern dynamics within her material. In her 2024 special, Have It All, she also discussed her three siblings, including the deeply personal and moving revelation that she has a transgender brother and a lesbian sister.
Wow, really bringing her whole family into it.
Yeah.
This inclusion of her siblings' identities further demonstrates a remarkable willingness to bring her entire personal world onto the comedy stage, leaving very little off-limits in her quest for authentic connection and humor. Especially given her devout Christian upbringing, which we discussed earlier, this openness can be seen as a profound act of acceptance and a bridge-building exercise.
It really challenges assumptions.
It does. By humorously discussing her transgender brother and lesbian sister, she not only fosters understanding within her audience, but also subtly challenges traditional norms and expands the definition of family and identity, particularly for those who may come from similar conservative backgrounds.
Using humor to open minds.
Precisely. It showcases a truly modern family dynamic explored through humor, demonstrating that even with a conservative foundation, evolution, acceptance, and love can coexist. It provides a very real and resonant reflection of contemporary life through her unique comedic perspective, showing how family, in all its forms, can be a source of both challenge and deep affection.
So what does this all mean? We've traced Taylor Tomlinson's incredible journey from a childhood shaped by faith and early loss through her rapid ascent in comedy propelled by the global reach of Netflix to her intentional and truly remarkable choice to prioritize stand-up over the prestigious late-night hosting chair.
Quite a journey.
An amazing one. We've seen her unique blend of sharp observational wit, self-deprecating humor, and profound vulnerability, particularly around mental health and identity, making her one of the most compelling and authentic voices in comedy today. Her career isn't just about punchlines, it's a masterclass in strategic self-direction and artistic integrity.
Indeed, her trajectory challenges many conventional notions of success. Her decision to step away from a major network late-night show, a highly coveted and stable position, to double down on her stand-up career, all while being a top-grossing touring comedian and exploring film and book deals, is genuinely thought-provoking.
It really makes you think.
It's not about accumulating the most diverse accolades simply for the sake of it, but about a deep, unwavering commitment to the core of her artistic identity, even when other highly appealing paths present themselves. She's demonstrating that having it all might mean defining your all very specifically.
Right. What does all even mean? In a culture that constantly pushes us to expand, to diversify, to have it all in every possible sense, to take every opportunity, to build every possible stream of income, to wear every hat, what can Taylor Tomlinson's deliberate choice to focus on her core artistic passion teach you about defining fulfillment and success on your own terms?
Mm.
Is true having it all about accumulating a vast array of achievements? Or is it about the profound depth of dedication to one's true calling, even if it means sacrificing other forms of prestige?
It's a powerful and timely question. Consider the implications for how we define ambition and satisfaction in a constantly evolving professional landscape, one where external validation often dictates our perceived worth. Taylor Tomlinson's journey reminds us that sometimes the greatest success and the most enduring satisfaction lies not in adding more, but in committing more deeply and authentically to what truly matters to you. It's about finding your specific all and having the courage to pursue it relentlessly.
Save big on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. Bite electric smart home products make everyday living simply smarter. Add color to your home's exterior with LED outdoor string lights. They're perfect for holidays or get-togethers, and they can be scheduled to automatically turn on or off. View our entire selection of Bite electric smart home products today on Menards.com. Plus, check out our weekly flyer for other great deals happening this week. Save big.